Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
I wonder if we could just continue in a few moments of silent prayer. What an awesome God we have. What an awesome time of worship we've just had. I myself have been humbled before the Lord, which especially happens when I sing about His holiness. I failed Him many times, but I know I am forgiven because of Jesus. Let's just have a moment of silent reflection, prayer, confession. God wants to use you. He's probably using most of you already, but He wants to use you more. And this is just one more time of preparation for that which is ahead. Please take a moment for silent prayer. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Make His face shine upon us so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. May the people praise You, God. May all the people praise You. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the world. May the people praise You, God. May all the people praise You. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. And God surely wants to bless each one of you this morning. I have about 100,000 people who follow me in prayer. I lived in India a number of years, been there four times again in the last decade, and many of my Indian friends seem to know more about prayer than my British friends. I live in Great Britain. I've been there 52 years, except when I'm in India or on one of our ships or somewhere else in the world. It's quite embarrassing as I still can't speak the language. But I thank the Lord for these people who pray for me. Some say they pray for me every day, which is just quite overwhelming. My heart is so full this morning. It's such a privilege to be here. I came here when I was in my early 20s, my late 20s. I came here when I was in my 30s. Came here when I was in my 40s. Came here when I was in my 50s. And I'm the kind of guy, when people meet my temperament, they figure I'll surely disintegrate within the next few months. So they're always shocked when I come back. And then I got here in my 60s. I didn't have the faith that I'd get back in my 70s. But somebody else must have had faith, because here I am. I'm here because Robertson McQuilkin became a close friend and a prayer partner, supported our ministry financially, and I was grieved that I, living in London and ministering around the world, could not be here for the great memorial service. And it's just a little act of memorial, and I know he'll be so happy I'm doing this. We want to give every one of you a free book as a gift. We don't care whether you're going to read it or not. Learn to receive a gift. All over the world, I receive gifts that I don't want. I'm always polite. I don't tell somebody in Korea, you know, I don't want your big brass, whatever they gave me last time. And so just be polite and pick up a book, at least one book, as a gift. What are these books? Well, I have something behind my offer. And my new book is just published by Moody Press. They even changed the title. They did edit out a couple of my hot points. So if you want the British edition, you can email me. But this is the American edition called Messiology. How many have heard of Messiology? Don't confuse it with missiology, which you teach here in your missions course. How many have heard of Messiology? Well, it's my own word. I invented it after I started writing Proverbs. I read the Proverbs so much because as a baby Christian, a lady scared me into reading them. I was selling Christian books door to door. That's how this began in my hometown. This lady could see that I was big on zeal and weak on wisdom, and she challenged me to read the proverb. She said, a proverb a day will keep the devil away. And then she showed me 31, one for every day in the month. I've been reading Proverbs almost every day since I met that woman. That's 59 years. So I started to write my own, because some of them, you know, I got a little bored. Forgive me, Lord. And but none of my Proverbs have gone hardly anywhere except one. And I won't be able to get it into the Bible. I don't know how to apply for that. But my one proverb, which really took off around the world, is where two or three of the Lord's people are gathered together, sooner or later, there's a mess. I wonder if any of you, you're very young, have you ever experienced any kind of mess with the Lord's people? Just raise your hand. Yeah, that's about 98%. So you can join the rest of the world where I've taken that survey. But that's pretty negative in some ways. And as the executive leader of OM for 46 years, not anymore, my job was to prevent messes and resolve messes, and I was committed to excellency, to holiness. But messiology is God's side. What I've seen for 60 years, God working in messy situations, sometimes even messy churches, how God has worked through divisions. Most churches go through some kind of division. It's hard. We don't want it. And yet, it's been one of the key factors in global missions and church growth. So today we have over 40,000 different denominations. Again, that sounds negative to people who don't understand messiology. So you better read this really quick. We don't normally give these away, but this is a special day, and we hope you'll pick that up. When that runs out and some of you don't read, the film of my life story was just released for British television. It's quite offensive, as it has me dancing in the film in the underground. That was not supposed to be in the film. But it's also got my wife, who doesn't speak in public. She didn't want to do this film, but my friends developed this new pill for wives. And I put it in her coffee in the morning, and she was perking about and said she'd be in the film. So you can see my wife in this film, and it's obvious that what she shared, she was not always totally happy with her husband. By the way, that pill doesn't exist. But that's my old book, Revolution of Love. We are big pushers of Randy Alcorn's book. There's Treasure Principle, Purity Principle. It'd be worth coming here just to introduce you to that book. And I just bought another 5,000. All my books are warehoused right over across the border in Georgia. And I hope some of you will grab that book. That's one of my really old books, Out of the Comfort Zone. That's the most influential book of my life in the last decade. That also changed our old movement so that OM 15 years ago embraced humanitarian action, social action, together with proclamation. One of my close friends actually was not too happy about that. He might be here this morning. God bless him. And we'll talk about it more in heaven. SOS by Debbie Meroff. That's a really old one, No Turning Back. I preached about that here about 30 years ago. That's a Christian classic, Calvary Road. Wish I had an hour to talk about it. 80 language, million in print. And it's just so amazing. We're trying to translate this book and publish it all over the world. Randy Alcorn's Why Pro-Life. I just bought another 10,000, and we hope some of you will pick that one up. And then just arrived these two brilliant books by a former OMer who's written one of the great books on leadership, Leading with Love, and then Love or Die, Bite and Devour. So these are all a gift. We've heard that some of you sneak out this door, and so we have several booby traps at this door, as well as some books for those of you in the fast lane. My second passage of scripture is in 2 Corinthians, and turn there in your Bibles to chapter 12. We've come as a team. I hope you'll meet Bence. He's the OM rep. OM is based in Atlanta. And we might as well be honest with you. We're here looking for recruits. I know some of you don't know much about OM. If you studied it like an onion, if you peeled us, it would get more real as you look. So check out the website. Some of you belong on our ship after you finish here. Some of you belong in our Muslim work. Some of you belong in Europe. Europe is a mission field. We'd love to see you over in London. We only have 1 million Muslims in London, but I will not be talking much about OM. There's a little stand, and Benz, who's from Hungary, is at the stand. You can meet him. Micah is my new travel helper. I've never had a Columbia Bible College student do this. I've had 5 or 6 from Moody, but I have had a gopher, 1 year travel partner, who ended up as a professor here, so that's even more significant. But I am looking for a recruit for next year. Meet Micah. He's from Germany, spent 6 years. He's in charge of all the books. He's done a lot of work this morning. He's training for Ironman, and we will be in the cafeteria with a bigger selection of books. This is total fast lane. We don't want you stopping looking at the books. You'll get in the way. We want this stampede like in the movies. And then if you want to look at the books, come to our table in the cafeteria. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, one of my favorite passages that again and again has rescued me when I've fallen on my face, when I've been so aware of my stupidity and my weaknesses, and I read it to you now. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Very strange. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. And I'm committed to share truth this morning, even though some of it may not be easy for me. I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted what I do or say. Because of this surpassingly great revelation, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I'm not saying this is true in my case, I don't understand it well enough, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. That's very strong language. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. And then the sudden shift, isn't it? Insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I wonder if any of you are aware of your weaknesses. I wonder if any of you, like me, when I was your age, and I'm still struggling, of course, but some of the weaknesses, they just kept coming back. My biggest one was pornography. I'm hesitant to speak about it. It always offends a few people. But you know, I remember coming here once and arriving on campus 20 years ago. They immediately came to me and told me about the top student at that time. I mean, this was the president of this, the leader of that. And they said, this week he's dropped out of everything. I knew God was going to lead me to that young man. And I knew the moment he came to me after chapel, he was that young man. And I knew his problem was the same as mine, pornography. And he shared his story, the sex shops thing, and all that can so easily happen, even when you're out in this part of the country. I've had the great joy, even though it's difficult, to share my struggles, to helping thousands of men come through that struggle across the world. One young man in Scandinavia who believed that he was a scumbag, a sexual, whatever else he had in his mind, and just one sentence in one of my tapes, acknowledging that I struggled with this and sometimes failed. Even at Urbana, I told the story of walking through the woods in London where I live, and a very expensive magazine, the kind I've never purchased. I never got into hard porno to any great degree. There it was, hanging in a tree. Now, how I would love to give you my victorious life testimony. I'm a leader in God's work. This is a ripe target. In the name of Jesus, the magazine was destroyed. Boy, I can write a book about that. How many of you prefer the truth? The truth is the magazine caused me again, as a leader of this movement, to fall flat on my face into lust. And when you're my kind of temperament and you fail in that way, you want to quit. You feel so wretched and so unworthy. But I thank the Lord for his word. I thank you, the Lord, not only for the message of radical discipleship, which OM is known for, and most of my early books are radical discipleship. I thank him for the message of radical grace, that he loves failures. He uses failures. I saw a book by that title, by the way, recently, Erwin Lutzer of Moody Church, Failure, the Back Door to Success. I recommend it. Well, I haven't read it myself, but the cover, it really spoke to my heart. I guess one of the stories that helped me the most was a story sent to me by email from a friend. And I think I may have told it here years ago because it's my favorite story that's helped me accept myself and realize God loves me even when I fail, even when I'm stupid. I've not been world's best husband. I can tell you, ladies, you would not want to marry me. I know that. I'm too old. But, we were a Bible college marriage. We didn't know each other. I had been on a 2-year fast. I had so many problems after my conversion. Maybe in a nutshell, I can tell you I wasn't from a Christian home, and yet I was incredibly happy. New Jersey, loudmouth, president of the class, Mr. This, Mr. That, big ego, 32 girls blew my circuits before I was 17. I certainly don't need Jesus. And everything was fine in my life until a Holy Ghost meddler came into my life, an interferer, a woman of prayer. And if there's any of you that still want to live your own selfish life, beware of these kind of women. Don't let them get your name. She got my name. She not only prayed that George Verwer, there at Ramsey High School across the street from her home, and I'm here because I'm on my way to my 60th high school reunion, still attempting to win my high school friends to Jesus. 60 are dead. 35 will be at the reunion. But she not only prayed that I would become a Christian, she prayed that I would become a missionary. What? She didn't even like discuss this with me. I already owned my own business. I knew what I was doing. And she then sent me a Gospel of John, like a spiritual hand grenade with a pin pulled out, through the mail. And I began to read this little book, actually the same time pornography started into my life. And in God's mercy, and I'm so thankful for God's servant, Billy Graham, he took an extra meeting. Years later, he gave the idea he wished he hadn't taken these extra meetings. He came to New York City one night, March 3rd, 1955. Thanks to a business person, a proactive dairyman, gave me a free seat on the bus into the center of the city. I lived outside the city, across the bridge in New Jersey, born in Paterson. My grandfather was an atheist. My own father came as a boy to this country, and he was not a believer. My other grandfather was Scottish, Irish, and English blood, huh? Can you imagine that? That's basically toxic. He was an alcoholic. My grandmother divorced him. Not a great Christian heritage. And those of you who have a Christian heritage, your father or grandfather, and it will always be imperfect, you should thank the Lord for that. Way over half the people that have served with OM, and by the way, since three of us went to Mexico in 1957, 200,000 have served with OM around the globe. And we estimate 25,000 of them are in leadership in the body of Christ across the world today. God heard the prayers of that lady. And in that Billy Graham meeting in Madison Square Garden that night, I turned from my sin. I went forward in front of 20,000 people. The Holy Spirit invaded me. He saved me and sent me the same night. He sent me back to my high school where the door opened to speak in a meeting like this to my high school friends in the auditorium. It's now illegal. And God began to move. Prayer groups were born. When I came back for Christmas break, hundreds came to the meeting and 125 stood in that meeting. I was 18 years of age to believe on Jesus, including my own father, the son of an atheist. I'm here to declare with all my heart that together with all your studies, your prayer life here is the most important aspect of everything you do. And what I learned at Bible College in prayer, as prayer was such an important part of life at Moody, and I went to prayer meetings every day, and then I started nights of prayer, has continued almost every single day, and is the reason I really believe that I'm still running this race as such an older person. God's grace, God's mercy. What's that story that has encouraged me? It's about a family in a thunderstorm. The thunder was so loud, the lightning was so fierce that even the adults were a little nervous. And then they realized their little girl, the little seven-year-old, was alone up in the bedroom. They ran upstairs, opened the door, expected to see her under the bed. Guess what? The little girl's looking out the window. There's another flash of lightning. They said, "Are you okay?" They're worried. "Are you okay?" And with a big smile, the little girl said, "Yes, I think God is taking my picture." God is taking your picture this morning. You are important. I'm locked into my culture. In my culture, certain people become important. Certain people even end up having a film done about them, even if they don't particularly like it. But God's thinking is very different. And the least is often the most important. You are important. And God, it's not an accident that you're here this morning. It's not an accident that you're studying in this great institution with this tremendous legacy and people praying all the time. He wants to use you. How did God ever use a character like me that continued struggling in many areas all of my Christian life? He said, even as a missionary in Thailand and Nepal and on our ships and in other countries and in England where we ended up living. It's tied in with this passage. It's tied in with dozens of other passages. In fact, you might want to try to read the entire Bible through from Genesis to Revelation. A friend of mine, Gordon MacDonald, wrote a brilliant book after major failure in his life called Rebuilding Your Broken World. I just bought another big pile of them. I saw them in our warehouse in Georgia yesterday. Be happy to send you one as a gift. By the way, you're looking at the crazy guy that gives away more books personally than almost anyone I think on the planet. So I'm not here just to take a meeting. I want connection. I want to pray for you. And we got, I'd love to have you into my Facebook thing. I'd love to have you just send me an email. We've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, we've got YouTube. This is the most exciting period of all of history. And I guess you just heard yesterday the news broke. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter are going to merge to try to be really bigger muscle in the marketplace. Has that news got here yet? It's going to be called You Twit Face. By the way, for some of you serious types, help me, Lord, I'm in trouble. Some of you serious types, that was a joke. If you could loosen up a little bit. And by the way, if you are thinking about being a missionary, please get loosened up here before you join Operation Mobilization, because missionary work is getting more messy and more complex than ever. And you know the biggest problem? Too many people coming to Jesus. In a number of countries, we're not seeing many people come to Jesus. It's quite organized. Things are ticking over. But when they start to come to Jesus, and that's certainly true of our work in India, where we have 3,500 workers, that's on top of the 3,000 who are involved globally, it gets even more messy. But God keeps working. Doesn't that give you hope if you've got struggles like me? You might say, what are some of my other weaknesses? Well, I've got about 20 more. We don't have that much time. But maybe you feel you've got some struggles. You've got some weaknesses. You know, you send me your list. If I can't double your list, I'll send you $200 for your tuition. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. One of my weaknesses was anxiety, worry. Here I was, the leader of something. I felt within the first 3 years it was beyond me. And I was worried about this and worried about that. We had people killed in car crashes. We had people shot dead in front of their home in Turkey. Later, another one murdered in Lebanon. Later, another one murdered. Then we lost one of our ships. All my life, Satan has tried to use fear and worry to somehow paralyze me, but he's never been able to do it because I know what it is to daily deal with my sin. I believe it's the privilege of every believer to live in revival. Revival isn't just something you pray for. That kind of Big Bang revival seldom happens in history. We love it when it happens, but it's not God's normal way of working. Revival is Jesus. The Lord Jesus living in you, and he's lived in me ever since that night in March in Madison Square Garden. And as far as I know, I could be deceived. Every day I've experienced personal revival. And I just share that with others and let the Lord take it from there. Another one of my struggles was with intellectual doubts. After high school, I studied at a place called Maryville College, which was evangelical until about 5 years before I got there. And then even the Bible professors were gifted at tearing away your faith in the Bible. I still remember Dr. Buchanan, my Bible teacher's name. I became a bit of a thorn for him. But as I read some of these complicated arguments, I went through enormous intellectual struggles. And to this day, I've had to battle doubts. And sometimes, especially when I see so much crazy behavior among the Lord's people, I talk about that in my book. It's very discouraging and gets me to think, is it really all true? And you and I know that sons and daughters, even of Christian leaders, are going down that road. And often I believe, I know there are many reasons, but I believe one reason is a wrong view of God. God works in the midst of a mess. We know the government's a mess. We know the sports world is a mess. I'm one of these characters that's just continually reading almost every area of life. In everywhere you look, there's a mess. Those of us who come and are saved in the church, we're still human. No matter how filled we are with the Holy Spirit, we're human. And so it is normal to have a mess at times in the church. Of course, the less the better. Of course, some churches are much healthier than others, and perhaps that's where you prefer to go. But so many people getting down on the church, especially the church in America, is because of a wrong view of God. And many of the things that are being said during this election are linked with a wrong view of God. And the negativeness about our country and about our church at this present time is linked, not the total answer, with a wrong view of God. So let me just share quickly my view. This is the greatest period in USA history. There are more people worshiping Jesus who believe the Bible is the Word of God than ever in history. You study what liberalism was doing here in the 20s and the 30s and what almost tore my faith out at Maryville College, and you will know that ever since the early 50s and 60s through Billy Graham and thousands of others like him and whole new movements and whole new churches, this is the most phenomenal period of church growth of people who truly know Jesus. Don't throw statistics from the 20s of the number of Christians. That is a false statistic. And if that's true, then Billy Graham has wasted his time and I've wasted my life, because I believe Christendom has been often the greatest enemy of personal dynamic relationship with the Lord Jesus and the living God. The USA and Canada is still to play a major role in global missions. And we have more potential to do that than at any time in history. I could give you 30 reasons. I talk about it in my book. You can pick it up. And we still, as we look across the world, realize missionaries are needed as much as ever. They may go as tent makers. The president of OMUSA has just written a book called Scattered, showing how people can go to the mission field with their own job and make a living, even in Saudi Arabia, Libya, Tunisia. There are 40 nations that have less than 2% of the witness that I have where I live in London. London is a pretty needy place. So what are we going to say of those 40 nations? You can find them on my website. Places like Somalia, Tunisia, Libya, places like Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, places like Morocco, places like Saudi Arabia, Turkey. We don't have time, but I want to remind you that one lady prayed for me that God would send me as a missionary. And look what our God has done. Would you pray for workers to go in, especially to these 40 more very unreached countries? Here's the thing that makes it more complex. Many of those people are now here in our midst. I've just been preaching in Detroit this weekend. Have you been to Dearborn? Every American needs to go to Dearborn. Many people are negative about this. I believe this is one of the greatest opportunities in the history of the United States. All these people, all these Muslims that have come here. Brother Andrew in the Netherlands, God smuggler. I'm known as Brother George, God's bungler. We were just together, and I said, and he reminded me that 30 years ago, he spoke this prophetic word. If we don't go to the Muslim world, and we didn't, except in a small way, God will bring the Muslim world to us. It's here. Don't be negative about it. This is God's hour. You say, but it's so messy here in America now. Have you studied American history? Why don't you bathe into the Civil War? Why don't you bathe into the time when people had slaves? Read my book on messiology, and you'll become one more Holy Ghost drunken optimist the rest of your life. God bless you. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.